We're looking at this theme, Thy Kingdom Come, and this particular series is about how we need to be open to His kingdom coming, His Spirit working in our lives. And this morning we're going to be talking about doors and how doors can. What do I need to do here? There we go. How doors need to be opened in our life in order to allow the Spirit of God to do what God intends. And some of us may be familiar with this picture. This one has been seen in a church or two. How many of you have seen this picture before? Well, you might, because some 500 million copies have been made of this painting by Walter Salomon. And actually, not just made, sold. So that's a pretty big deal. Another one of his paintings that you may be familiar with. This is another one that he did. He did the same. Jesus knocking at the door. Okay, where's Jim Young? Jim Young is here. Is he awake? And is he capable of quoting Revelation 3:20?
Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him.
All right. Good job, Jim. I tell you what. This is fantastic. By the way, Jennifer, we do that. Every Sunday we pick on somebody and try to ask them to quote a Bible verse. And so it's but this is why our attendance sometimes goes down after the first, but this is the first time Jim has ever memorized a verse. So and was able to quote it. But this is another Walter Salomon painting, and so many times I've heard sermons about, there's no handle on the outside, the handle's on the inside, and Jesus is knocking at the door, and as I was looking at the scriptures, there's a lot of themes dealing with the doors and our spiritual life. It's kind of a connection there, and that is one of the main ones. We're going to be coming back to that a little bit later, but another door reference has to do with a time when Jesus went on a retreat with his disciples. And by the way, Jesus' disciples probably were in their teens, or early 20s. There's something that happens apparently with people when they get beyond the teenage years. I think beyond 25 or so, they're supposed to actually become mature. Did you realize that the brain does something? And there's less risk taking. There's more, Jesus' disciples were kind of younger. They were willing to do things. They were willing to go out and Jesus was saying, you guys, I love your passion, love your enthusiasm. Sometimes I'd like to hone it in. I'd like to focus it. And so he went on a retreat with them. And on this retreat at Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying who the Son of Man is?" I wanna get this kind of general flavor in. In fact, I think this is a great kind of question. What do different people say about Jesus and our relationship to Him, about the church and what's the word on the street? And then as he got the response, some say he's John the Baptizer, or Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus comes back, he presses them, and he says, "How about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds with this great response: "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." I want you to focus on who Jesus is. And then we come to this passage. Jesus responds: "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God Himself, lets you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter. You're a rock, and this is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." Not even the doorway into hell is going to be able to keep out what God intends to do. Now, what kind of the picture we have is that Jesus, as the rock that becomes a rock when we place our faith in Him as well, that rock kind of is able to plug the gates of hell, the doorway of hell. It's keeping the forces of hell at bay. That hell wants to release itself. Just as we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In hell, the prayer is, Satan, your kingdom come, your will be done. And all the stuff of hell wants to rise up. And just as much as God wants his kingdom operate on earth, Satan wants his kingdom operate on earth. And it's like when we say, Lord, I really am into your kingdom being here. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. When we say Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, something happens that begins to transform us, begins to change us, but also kind of counteracts the work of Satan. Here's a passage from Colossians. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, when that happens, it means the killing off of everything connected with that way of death, that hellish kind of stuff. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it. How many of you don't like that kind of phrase in this list? You know, the others maybe, but I kind of like to do what I like to do when I like to do it. Grabbing whatever attracts your fancy, that's a life shaped by the things and feelings instead of God. This is the stuff of hell coming up to the surface. Instead of that rock of Christ being placed in that doorway which allows hell to swing open and into our lives. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. You know what the worst kind of dirty talk is? It's not four-letter words, by the way. The worst kind of dirty talk is when we... Were you going to say something, Jennifer?
I was going to say gossip.
Well, you're right. You're really... I think so, isn't it? You get to come back next week, Jennifer. Jim does as well. It's gossip. It's stuff which pulls other people down. It's stuff that we want to destroy somebody else, and so we to make ourselves feel better. It's that stuff inside of us that is the stuff of hell. It is stuff where the kingdom wants to replace it with prayer and with blessing, with encouragement, with love and forgiveness. It's this. Oops. And I did it again. Let's see if I can get this back. All right. And he says, don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. Don't use divisive words. Instead, from now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Somehow there's supposed to be this brother and sister kind of thing going on in Christ. There's something different that's supposed to be happening when we open the door that God wants us to open. We're supposed to, in one sense, there's supposed to be a big rock placed inside the doorway to hell when we come into faith with Christ. And quite frankly, it's not about what we see in other people. This issue, I think the pathway of hell, Satan's work, is not principally done in somebody else. I mean, it is so easy to find someone else messing up, and all our thoughts are about that other person messing up, and that's never really the message that God has in store for us. It's what inside of us needs that rock of solid faith in Christ. What is that will begin to dam that thing up? How many of you have caught yourself biting your tongue and realizing, gosh, God was actually biting my tongue. It was a blessing that there, I was all set to send off an email the other day, and I was saying, Ann, I want to read this to you. And she said, don't do it! Don't do it! How many of you need an Ann sometimes when you're writing an email? Don't send that! In fact, the next morning, Ann woke up and said, I am so glad you did not send, but you're wrong. Stick that rock. How many of you guys need a rock stuck in your mouth? Just, shoom, the rock of Christ. And so that hell gets dammed up. And it goes back where it's supposed to. It gets killed off. Well, on the other hand, there's another kind of door. There's the doorway, kind of like a trap door to hell. There's the doorway of Christ saying, hey, we're supposed to open up our heart's door. And then there's this other kind of door. Jesus said, there are two paths before you. You may take only one path. One doorway is narrow. And one door is wide. Go through the narrow door. For the wide door leads to a wide path, and the wide path is broad. The broad path is easy, and the wide, broad, easy path has many, many people on it, but the wide, broad, easy, crowded path leads to death. You've got to find a door that most people aren't walking on. That's kind of the deal. It's kind of, in fact, one of the things I just say about what we're doing right now, that we're increasingly becoming a counterculture when we gather here. We're increasingly becoming a counterculture when we're singing praises to God. We're increasingly becoming a counterculture when we read the scriptures. And we're very much increasingly becoming a counterculture when we say, gosh, I'd really like to apply what the scriptures are saying. It's not the way the most people are going. It's unfortunately not. We got another passage along here. It says, now then that the narrow door leads to a narrow road that in turn leads to life, it is hard to find that road. Not many people manage it. And then we have this passage. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not grasp the point of what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them once more, I do assure you that I myself am the door for the sheep. All who have gone before me are like thieves and rogues, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. That door, that narrow door, that hard to find door, that door is Jesus. And it goes on to say this: if a man goes in through me, he will be safe and sound. He can come in and out and find his food. The thief comes with the sole intention of stealing and killing and destroying, but I came to bring them life and far more than before. I'm the door that's going to enable good things to begin to happen. I just talking to Vern about some of the things in his life and just where it's taken some courage to take some steps that are making a difference in his life. And it always does. It always takes courage. It is not easy to change, is it? Once we get going on a path, it's easy just to keep going on that path. It's always hard to make a change. It requires us to say, the way I was going wasn't healthy, good, right. And it's hard for us to do that because we just don't like to do that. It's not part of our natural DNA. Jesus said this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. I think we've got a problem, though. I think there's a lot of knocking on doors. And we sometimes have the problem of figuring out who's doing the knocking. I think we've got, at one point we've got Satan knocking on a door, and sometimes we think it's Jesus. I know of people in anger, retribution, revenge, gossip, rumor, and they're all doing it in the name of Jesus. I mean, they do everything that they can do to seem to destroy and kill and steal, and they're doing it in the name of Jesus. I mean, and they're hearing this knock, and they're opening a door, but it's a door to Satan's work in their lives. And then I think there's another group of people that are knocking like crazy. They're taking their fists and they're knocking and they're pounding and they're saying, God, where are you? Boom, 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 boom. They're knocking all over the place, and they can't seem to find Christ's Spirit at all, but they're knocking. And they're, because it seems like they're focused on their knocking. They're so focused on how they're knocking, and they're reading their Bible for all they're worth. They're praying for all they're worth. They're doing serving for all they're knocking as hard as they can, and something's missing at the same time, because they're so focused on their own knocking that they haven't discovered the door. You know, you're talking about, that doorway being found through surrender this morning, raising the white flag. Wes, my son, used to say this quite a bit when he was leading. He would say, "We come, Lord, we come to you humbly today, because that's the only way we can come to you. We can't come to you any other way. We can. The door. I really believe the door is hard to find." Because it only comes when we get down on our knees. We've got to go down enough. I want to say, when Harbor Point first got rolling, I was telling Chris this, that I have got to be careful, because I'm an idealist and I start talking in ideas. I am not a contractual. I would make a lousy lawyer. I do not like to say things and be held accountable for exactly what I said, I say things and I kind of feel things. How many of you kind of that way? You kind of say and feel and words come out and you mean it, and then you say, well, gosh, I didn't realize that could be misinterpreted, because my heart was in the right place when I said it. And we had this person at the church, and I had talked and I meant everything I said, but he had to understand that I was speaking from my heart, and sometimes my heart is not speaking like a lawyer. And he kind of took what I said like a lawyer. And there was a major, major misunderstanding. Early on at Harbor Point, we almost had a major split in the church. It was just this awful thing where some things were misunderstood. And so got together with this individual, like Ann, this person, their spouse, and we got somebody else to serve as a mediator. And as we're talking, I got down on my knees before this couple, and I begged their forgiveness for the misunderstanding I caused. I said, please, I just beg you to forgive me for my end in this. I have no desire to cause any pain. Nothing but desiring what's good and right. And can we right now, can we not look at our relationship like it was a contract? Can we look at what is best and move forward? Can we take things right now and move forward? Can we just say, hey, there was misunderstanding. Can we do this? You know, I think a lot of us need to do the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. We need to get down on our knees because we have misunderstood the contract. We've misunderstood that there is no contract. That Jesus is a mysterious, and what he says, we have a tendency to misunderstand. The way he operates, we don't get. It's we need to be on our knees to say, Lord, I've said some things that were really messed up. Because, and I did it even in your name, please. I want to be right. I want to be right with you. I want the open door. And I want to hear you knock when you're knocking. I want to hear Satan when he's knocking. And I also want to be knocking, Lord, only where you want me to be knocking. I want to be knocking on my knees. I want to be down and just humbly come to you. Because I need you. I need you. You know what? A lot of us would do well to get on our knees with one another and just say, you know, I love you. I love you. I messed up, but I love you. Sorry. Love you. It's the best thing we can do. Brings the rock in to hold up that hole of hell. Just to be able to say, I love you. Please forgive me. Sorry for the hurt. I love you. I'm sorry. Oh Lord, it starts with you, doesn't it? It starts with a person who comes and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Seems like the open door happens then. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, please have mercy on each of us who are sinners. And then, Lord, I just pray that we have the grace, instead of being majoring in rumor and gossip, that we'll major in love and forgiveness. I just pray that can be a part of our DNA. I just pray that somehow that's just who we are. I pray for your kingdom to have this energy, this expansive energy that comes when your spirit is operating and working. I pray for all these things, Lord. I pray for open doors. Shut doors in Satan, open doors to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.